This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Muffins, Mornings, Mothership.
Oh, okay.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our next guest won Super Bowl 35 with the Baltimore Ravens as head coach. He oversaw one of the most explosive, potent offenses ever in the 1998 Minnesota Vikings. He has been a longtime NFL analyst and now has written a book called The Q Factor, The Elusive Search for the Next Great NFL Quarterback. Joining us this morning is Coach Brian Billick. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Thanks so much for joining us. And I want to know, with the array of stats, analytics, and computer tools that evaluators have, coaches and scouts and GMs have, easier today to assess a quarterback coming out of college or harder?
You would think so. You would think with the advanced in analytics and just the sheer amount of data and experience we have, yet we still, when we're talking about a first-round quarterback, it's a 50-50 proposition, and it ought to be better than that. And that's exactly what the Q factor is about. We use the 2018 draft with the five quarterbacks taken as a backdrop as to, okay, what is the process? How did we get here? And how is it only 50-50? And as general manager will tell you, Bill Polian said, I just want to bat 525. I just need to be a little bit better. Because if you're just a little bit better, it can mean the difference between that better player, that better team, and maybe a championship. And so it was a fascinating project to go through and looking at the data. And typically, if I can give you a short, dirty answer, it's simply a matter of you got to set certain standards. As one professional talent scout told me, there are certain things that need to be non-negotiable. But when we look at quarterbacks' need, which is a terrible evaluator, we tend to, move around and renegotiate some of those standards. And that's where we make mistakes.
Is that the biggest reason that we are still only hitting one out of two quarterbacks? That's because need and desperation and urgency forces evaluators to over-evaluate a quarterback that they, quote, need?
Yeah, and the fact that the criteria keeps changing, and what does it take to play quarterback in the NFL? The three are certainly the physical skills. And no matter how big the bust, I don't care if it's Vince Young, Jamarcus Russell, Tim Couch, Achilles Smith, it goes on and on. Physically, these players can play. The second aspect is the mental and emotional makeup of the player. And that's typically where you have more of the issue. And then finally, of course, it's what circumstances they go into. Sometimes there's just not the right fit. It's the right guy, wrong place. Or the wrong guy, maybe the right place, and it just doesn't work. So those are the three main things that you look at and say, okay, how did we miss on this?
Brian Billick joins us this morning on the show. I feel like the more that I watch the NFL, the more that I recognize exactly what you're talking about. Right guy, wrong place. Right guy, wrong fit. Right guy, wrong time. How often does it happen that a guy that really could be a successful NFL quarterback just doesn't hit the right team, coach, or scheme at the right time, and that's why he flames out?
Yeah, and that's the hard thing to identify. Of course, the scouts will tell you, oh, no, the guy could play. The coaches just screwed him up. And the coaches will tell you, oh, no, the guy could never play. You gave me a bad player. But that's the hard thing to analyze. Let's go back to the analogy a lot of people use, Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning. And had they switched, would that have made a difference if Ryan Leaf had gone to Indianapolis and Peyton Manning gone to San Diego? Well, I don't think anybody really believes, and I certainly don't, that Peyton Manning still wouldn't have been successful. Ryan Leaf had other issues, obviously. But you can take Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, both who could likely be in the Hall of Fame, but would have been different for the success of Phillip Rivers if he had been in New York with Tom Coughlin the first 11 years of his career, like Eli Manning did, compared to what Phillip Rivers had to go through, rotating coaches and coordinators and that type of thing. So it's a fair question in terms of looking at, well, which is it? Unfortunately, you can only do it in post-mortem because, you know, any team that takes a quarterback, they think he's the right guy and they think they're in the right place.
One of the chapters in your book is about assessing rookie years and that, yeah, it's premature, but you can use that to predict what a player's career is going to look like. And then certainly by year two, you should start seeing what's reality with that quarterback. You're not prone to hyperbole, so I feel comfortable asking you this question. Do you think we're watching one of the greatest ever in Patrick Mahomes since we have this amount of body of work?
Boy, it's looking that way, isn't it? I mean, certainly what he does is unique enough. His ability to deliver ball from whatever platform, the athleticism, the mental makeup, the way his team responds to him. You're right, we need some longevity here before we slam dunk him into the Hall of Fame. But he sure looks like he's on that track because this young man is truly, truly unique in the way that he plays the game. It's fun to watch. What he did the other night against Baltimore was amazing to me, against another great young quarterback who just really couldn't keep up. So, yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody, I think, that doesn't think Patrick Mahomes is on that kind of trajectory.
Admittedly, I did not think that Kyler Murray was going to work in the NFL, and to this point in time, he has. It's still early, but he's shown a lot of promise. Did you think coming out of school that somebody of Kyler Murray's size could work long-term in the league?
Well, and I had the legitimate, you know, the concerns that other people had, that, you know, obviously because of the possibility of the baseball and whether that would, you know, derail him in some other way, the size coming out of a program. Remember, that's always the concern. It's funny, we have such a narrow parameter. If a kid comes out of a small program, well, I don't know, this is the competition he faces. And if he comes out of a really good big program, well, he's surrounded by a lot of good talent. Maybe he's just a product of that talent around him in the system. We said that possibly about Baker Mayfield. We said about Kyler Murray coming out of Oklahoma. So a number of those things, plus his height and size and the worry that, okay, does his style of play, is he going to stay healthy? That's the biggest thing when you look at these athletic quarterbacks. Can it translate from what they do in college into the pros? Baker Mayfield's a perfect example. He's a pretty good athlete and did some things in college. Now, his athletic ability in the pros, you're not going to see that the same. He'll get killed because he's not that type of athlete that part of it really is going to translate into the NFL. So far, Kyler Murray looks like, yeah, what he did in college game in terms of extending plays and running around, so far works in the NFL.
Brian Billick, the author of The Q Factor, The Elusive Search for the Next Great NFL Quarterback, joins us here on the show. I'd love for you to take us behind the scenes in your own experience. Let's go back to Kyle Bowler, a guy that you guys drafted in the first round, 19th overall. He did become your starting quarterback for a couple of years, but never had the success that you were hoping for. What did you see in Kyle? And then what ended up being the reason that he didn't develop into the quarterback that you were hoping for?
Yeah, great question. And Ozzie Newsome, Phil Savage, Eric Acosta, and I, we've talked about this for years in the postmortem of what did we do. And in hindsight, like we say in the book, there was a great need. And as I said earlier, you know, the talent professionals tell you you have to establish certain non-negotiables, and then you can't waver from that. And we did. We had such a need. And this young man, you know, he's a great young man. And it was just a classic example of the sum of the parts didn't equal the whole, because he had everything: the intelligence, the vision, the athleticism, the charisma. The what he didn't have was accuracy. And we kind of made excuses coming from Cal and not a great receiving group for why he wasn't more successful or didn't have a higher completion percentage. The fact of the matter is that, and that very typically doesn't change. Now we're seeing that with Josh Allen, where he had the same completion percentage. He had to have the same concerns, and that's what scared people. He has shown, contrary to the tendencies and history, that he can improve. He's gone from a sub 60%. He's close to 70% right now. So it's those outliers that are going to get you. And Kyle Bowler was one that he had everything, but when the pressure got hot, his fundamentals got loose, and he was never really able to overcome it.
So interesting hypothetical. You talk about the need, and that kind of pushed him up your draft board. Had you guys not had a need, would you have drafted him later if he was available, or just not at all?
Well, you see that all the time. That's exactly. Kyle, really, in hindsight, and this is easy to say in hindsight, but yeah, he probably should have been an early second round pick. Where, and there's a world of difference taking a guy in the second round versus the first round. Second round, it's okay, we're going to take a chance on a quarterback. If it doesn't work, so be it. There's not the same amount of pressure. But to take a Kyle Buller and move around to get him, you saw it in the draft where we saw guys like Blaine Gabbert, okay, and Christian Ponder are two guys in particular that probably should have been early second-round picks, but because of need, got pulled into the top 10, the top 12, and it just didn't work out. Conversely, though, you look at Ryan Tannehill, also just 1 year, probably should have been an early second-round pick, gets pulled up early into the top 10 picks, does not do well in Miami. So you say, okay, there's another example of need and the analytics of we really didn't have that much of a track record. But then you go into the category right player at the right place. He gets out of the league, basically ends up in Tennessee as a backup, takes over as the starter, and has been brilliant. Yep. So, again, it's the trifecta of the abilities, the mental and emotional makeup, and being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, Tannehill's a great example of that. The book is The Q Factor, The Elusive Search for the Next Great NFL Quarterback by Brian Billick, Super Bowl-winning head coach. It's available. It's a really cool book. If you're a football fan and you're interested in the study of the draft and evaluation of quarterbacks and the like, it's a really, really cool study, and it's a really cool read. Coach, it's always good to catch up. Thanks so much for doing it today.
Sounds good. Thanks.
You got it. Brian Billick is our guest here on the DA Show. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.